As we focus our attention throughout this year on Christ, we want to look today at the idea that the Christian must teach Christ. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that we're going to teach Christ something he doesn't know, but instead that we're going to teach about Christ to others. And so we want to think about that as we go into our lesson today. We want to start by reviewing just for a moment from last week when we talked about knowing Jesus, getting to know Christ. And we talked about how sometimes we know a lot about the Bible. We know some verses, and we even may know things about Jesus. We may know he was born in Bethlehem and know that he grew up in Nazareth or that he was crucified outside Jerusalem. We may know some of the facts, but knowing the facts about him is not the same thing as knowing him. I can know facts about any of the popular people in the world, any of the famous people in the world. I can find out when they were born and where, and I can find out where they went to school, and I can find out what jobs they do and whether they married or had kids or divorced, and I can find out all of those details about their life. But that doesn't mean I know them. I know about them. We need to get to know Jesus Christ on a personal level. Because unless we know him, we won't be able to teach others about him. Oh, we can teach them the facts. And I'm afraid that sometimes that's been what's happened through the years, because if all we know are the details, the trivia of his life, then that's all we can share with others. There's an old saying that is so very true. You cannot lead others where you are not going. You cannot lead others to a place that you're unwilling to go or unable to go. We cannot lead others to Christ unless we get there first. We can tell others about Christ. We can encourage them to go there. I think about climbing Mount Everest. I mean, I don't think about it as in I want to do it, because I don't. But I think about what would be involved in climbing Mount Everest. And I think about those people who work as guides. And I think they're Sherpas. And they lead the other climbers up the mountain. And I think about that and I think, you know, I'd never want to be one of those guys. I'd probably die before I got to the base camp, much less to the summit of Mount Everest. But the thing about a climb like that is, those people have been there before, and they know then how to lead someone else there. If we want to lead others to have a better relationship with Jesus Christ, we must first develop that relationship with him ourselves. I can tell somebody all about how to climb Mount Everest. I can tell them how tall the mountain is. I can tell them that the base camp's at 19,000 feet. I can tell them that they need to get a Sherpa as a guide. I can tell them they need certain climbing shoes. I can tell them they're going to need oxygen when they get up close to the top. I can tell them all about how to do it. But I can't lead them there because I'm not going up there. So we can tell people about Jesus, and we can kind of point to him and say, hey, you ought to follow him. The guy that died on the cross and rose again, follow him. But unless I'm following him, unless I know him, I cannot lead someone else to him. And it certainly works much better if we're leading people to Christ instead of just telling them to go follow him. It's much better if we lead by example. So what does a Christian need to teach? Now, a Christian needs to know a lot of different things, and we need to be able to teach a lot of different things. There's so much. The Bible is filled with different teachings. We need to be able to help people understand the differences between the Old and New Testament. We need to be able to help people understand about the church, and we need to be able to help people understand different Bible doctrines. And we need to be able to understand those things and know those things for ourselves. We need to be able to take the statements that the Bible makes and understand the principles that go so far beyond even what the page says. I think about this. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or some variation on that, depending on your translation. And I want you to think about just that one statement. He said it, one little sentence, just a few little words. And yet, an entire encyclopedia could be written on how to apply that to every different situation in our lives. What should I do in this situation? How does that apply? Do unto others the way you would want, treat them the way you'd want to be treated. Do unto others as you'd want them to do to you. How do I apply that in this situation, in that situation? We could write, and more so, we think about that positive statement, treat other people the way you want to be treated, outlaws thousands of actions that it would have taken another encyclopedia to have listed. You know, don't poke your neighbor in the eye. Don't punch him in the nose. Don't yank his ears off. Don't slit his throat. Don't shoot him. Don't scratch his car up, or steal his tires, or steal this, or steal that. You go on down the list, all the things you shouldn't do to your neighbor. And Jesus covered them all in that little statement. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. And so when it comes to understanding how to apply the things in Scripture, it can feel kind of overwhelming. But I want us to focus our minds on the first and foremost thing, and that is knowing Jesus and therefore being able to teach others to know Jesus. And if we start to get that, the other things won't become so mind-boggling anymore. They won't be quite as daunting as they were. Because life is lived, not memorized. And so as we get to know Jesus better, and as we get to becoming more like Him, many of the things that He wants us to do will start to become second nature to us. They will become our automatic reaction instead of the thing that we have to sit down and think, okay, now what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus want me to do in this situation? What the Christian must teach first, the fundamental thing, is Jesus Christ. We can teach morals. Other world religions teach morals of different kinds. Many of them very similar to some of the morals that Christianity teaches. We can teach them doctrines. We can teach them about the church. We can teach them about various different details of Scripture. How to properly interpret Scripture. There are a lot of things we can teach, but first, we need to teach people about Jesus. I want us to think about this as we look at some of the things that we find in the Scriptures. When we first meet Jesus in the Scriptures, what is the message He proclaims? What does He say? Now, He went out preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand. But how were people going to get into that kingdom? They had to know Jesus. There are many things that Jesus said. He didn't come to enlighten us about math or science or to teach us history better. And He didn't even come just to teach us better how to understand God's law. He came to present himself, to give himself, to sacrifice himself for us so that we could know God. He was and is God who came in the flesh. We're going to dig more deeply into Jesus' deity tonight, in our lesson tonight. But for now, I just want us to think about the fact that Jesus was his own message. Time and again, he says to the different disciples and to the others that were asking him questions, and what he's constantly pointing them to him. He says things like verse 6 of John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Nobody can get to heaven, to where the Father is and where He dwells, except by coming through Jesus Christ. We've got to know Him. And that's what He said about Himself. John 6 and verse 57. "Just as the living Father sent me into the world, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." Think about that for a minute. Jesus said, "I want you not just to know who I am, but I want you to consume me. I want you to feed on me." You ever heard the saying, "You are what you eat"? The more we devour Christ, the more like Him we are going to become. Well, I always wondered about that when they say, "You are what you eat." Why do parents then encourage their children to eat fruits and vegetables? They want their children to become vegetables and fruits? I don't know. That's not the way that works. But if we want to be like Jesus, we've got to consume Him and consume His teaching and consume His, get His mind in us. He says in John 7, verses 37 and 38, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." He'll give us that water, and then that water will come out of us to others. But it only comes through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. John 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He's our food. He's our drink. He's our light. He's the air we breathe. We need to live, eat, drink, sleep, breathe Christ. He needs to be the center of our lives in every possible way. John 11, verses 25 and 26, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Not only in this life, but if we want a chance for a good life in the next life, He's the resurrection. He says, "Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Now, he's not talking about a physical death. We are going to face a physical death. But spiritually, we don't have to ever die. We can have eternal life through Him. John 12, 44 through 46. "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." Even the disciples were confused about it. Philip asked him, "Well, Lord, show us the Father," in John chapter 14. And Jesus says, "Philip, have you been with me this long and you still don't know? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus was showing them everything they needed to know. and he'll show it to us. It's recorded for us in the Scriptures so that we can know him. He taught so many things. Look at a few more of the examples about his teaching. Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He talks about how God loved the world so much that he sent his Son, Jesus, into the world so that the world might be saved through him. When he talks to the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4, he says to her, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask me for some water, some living water. But she didn't know who he was. She eventually came to the conclusion he was a prophet. And then she said, well, the Messiah is going to come. And then he just flat out told her, he said, I'm talking to you. I am the Messiah. And then she got excited and she ran off to tell everybody, hey, this guy told me everything about myself. But he's wanting to share who he really is. And yet so many, even who saw him day after day, heard his teaching, walked the same streets that he walked, even they didn't know who he was, didn't really know him. We have the opportunity to do better than they did. We have the opportunity to study him and learn him and to understand who he was and who he is and how it can change our lives. When the crowd that had eaten the loaves and the fishes in John chapter 6 were there and he was teaching them, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And again, he's not talking about physically. We may get thirsty, we may get hungry physically, but he will feed us spiritually. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Then to the apostles in John 15, he says, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Now think about that one for just a minute. How many times in our lives are we trying to do things without Jesus? I can do this, I can get that done. We're trying to do it, but we're trying to do it without Jesus. He said, without me, you can't do anything. And we need to realize that. You see, the message that Jesus came to bring was Jesus. He is the message. He is the good word. He is the good news. He is the gospel that we are to share. You know, if we just exchange the rules and regulations of the Old Testament for a new set of rules and regulations and moral codes in the New Testament, that's not really good news. I mean, we could make the argument, well, these are better rules than those were or whatever. Yeah. But without Jesus, they're just a set of rules. There's no blessing in that. There's no benefit in that. Without Jesus, it's meaningless. It's useless. He was the only thing that he had to offer the world. But he knew that was enough. They didn't need anything else. They needed him. We need him. Same was true of the disciples. They had a lot to teach the world. But first and foremost, they offered the world Jesus Christ. That has to be the center. That is the thing that makes Christianity different than other religions in the world. So let's consider the message of the apostles. The apostles were told, you go everywhere teaching them all the things I've commanded you. Whew. Jesus taught the apostles for 3 years. He taught them a lot. And he said, you go teach everything that I've taught you. But first he said, you go make disciples. You go make people who will follow me, who will be students of me, disciples of Jesus. And then you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. We sometimes get things a little out of kilter. We want to teach people how to live a good Christian life first and then teach them to become a Christian. That's not the way it works. Get the cart before the horse when we do that. We teach people to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, then they'll want to obey the gospel. Then they'll want to be baptized. We see that in the lives of the apostles and prophets and others in the new first century church. Look at some of these things that the first century Christians were teaching in the book of Acts. In Acts 2, Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. His sermon's about Jesus. He doesn't even mention the church. He doesn't even mention instrumental music, or he doesn't mention elders and deacons. He doesn't mention church organization or leadership. He's preaching Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that those other things are not things that we need to teach. Somebody asked me one time, and they said, well, how do we teach somebody? They were wanting to help their neighbor understand the dangers of gambling. And gambling can be a very dangerous thing. A lot of people have gone broke gambling, and they've gambled away everything and lost their families and destroyed their lives with it. And they said, well, how can I teach them that gambling is a dangerous thing? And they said, well, here's some verses that warn about some dangers that would be associated with gambling. Well, but my neighbor's not a Christian, doesn't believe in the Bible, so how can I teach them? Well, what's the point? Why? Why bother? If we could teach all of our friends and neighbors to be good neighbors, oh, it'd be nicer to live next to them, but it wouldn't get them to heaven. If we could teach everyone to stop abusing drugs and alcohol, if we could teach everyone to stop stealing, stop killing, stop raping, stop all of the evil, if we could teach them to stop all of those things, but we didn't teach them Jesus, what did we accomplish? I mean, would the world be a nicer place to live? I guess, you know, it'd be, your neighbors would be friendlier. We wouldn't be hearing about murders on the news and things, and that'd be good, but without Jesus, what good did it do? They're still lost. If we can teach them all the morality of the Bible but not teach them Jesus, we really haven't helped them. If we could eradicate poverty, feed and clothe everyone, give everyone good housing, I'm sure they'd like that. We'd like that. That'd be a good thing temporarily. But if they're still lost, what good did it do? Our preaching is to be about Jesus. That's what Peter preached. Therefore, let all Israel be assured that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. That was the punchline of his lesson. In Acts 3, Peter preaches again to a crowd. He says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. In Acts 4, again, Peter before the Sanhedrin said, salvation is not found in anyone else. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Acts 7, Stephen says, you've betrayed and murdered this righteous one. He's talking about Jesus Christ. In Acts 8, Philip went to Samaria and proclaimed Christ. In speaking with the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip began in Isaiah 53 and told him the good news about Jesus. Now here's Philip's a perfect example here, because when he talks to the Ethiopian, he teaches him about Jesus. And in that process, and realize, he didn't have time. I mean, they're journeying down the road, but they're not together for 3 years. He doesn't have time to teach him everything that Jesus had taught. He doesn't even come close. So he has to start with the most important things. So he preaches to him about Jesus. But you know what the Ethiopian eunuch does? As they're riding along, he said, "Look, there's some water. What's keeping me from being baptized?" Now, Philip wasn't preaching baptism. He was preaching Jesus, and baptism was a natural part of that. When he talked about Jesus' death and burial and resurrection and how Jesus came to save it, you know, I wasn't there, I didn't hear his sermon, but something in his sermon let the Ethiopian eunuch know that what needed to be done was to be baptized. It's interesting, in Acts 2, Peter doesn't even mention baptism until they ask him. He's just telling, "Hey, you murdered the Son of God. You murdered the Christ." And then they're sure, "What do we do?" And he says, "You repent and you be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." But they didn't start with teaching baptism. They started with teaching Jesus. It doesn't do any good to baptize people that don't believe in Jesus. Doesn't do any good at all. People get immersed in water all day, every day, all over the world that don't believe in Jesus. They're not baptized. They're not Christians just because they got immersed in water. That doesn't do it. Acts 10, Peter at Cornelius' house again. He's teaching him about Jesus. There are examples from the teachings of Paul as well. 4 times Luke tells us that Paul went into the synagogues for the specific purpose of talking to the Jews about Jesus the Messiah. 5 of the great speeches of Paul are recorded, his great lessons in the book of Acts. 4 of them centered on the person and work of Jesus. And in the 5th, when he was before Felix, he was just about to get to that, but he got interrupted. He was just fixing to talk about the resurrection. He'd mentioned it and he was fixing to, and he got interrupted. And he wouldn't let him finish it. The very last words recorded in the book of Acts were that Paul was preaching the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't preach a kingdom without preaching or teaching about the King. Jesus is our King. If we want to be in His kingdom, it's important. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, the scripture that was read for us just a while ago. He told the Corinthians that when he was with them, and he was with them for several months, he said, "I determined to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now you would think that might make for some pretty boring sermons after a while, if that's all he's ever preaching. But what he means is that his focus was on getting closer to Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus more than he knew him before. Are we any different than Jesus and the apostles? Do we get to give some other message that will be better? No. Our message needs to be the same message that they had. We, like they did, must teach Jesus. He has to be the focal point. He has to be the center. Jesus preached Jesus. Peter preached Jesus. Philip and Stephen preached Jesus. Paul preached Jesus. What are we preaching? What are we teaching? What are we showing to our friends and neighbors? Are we showing them Jesus? I'm glad that there are people who are committed to wanting to restore the New Testament church, and I'm glad that we focus on that to some degree. That's important. But we can't restore the New Testament church without Jesus, because He is the center of that church. He's the head of the church. He's the bridegroom of the church. He's the king of the church, the Lord of the church, the Savior of the body. You can't have the church without Jesus. I'm glad we understand that God wants us to live certain ways. I'm very frustrated with the religious world in general because they talk a lot about Jesus, but then they live like the devil. And that's ridiculous. You can't know Jesus and then live like His enemy. If you know Him, you're going to live like Him. You're going to let His life flow through your life. But until we learn who Jesus is and teach who He is, we may make a lot of converts, but we won't make any Christians. This has to be our gospel. God came to earth in the flesh, in the form of Jesus, lived among us, and this is how He lived. He came to bring forgiveness for sinners. We see His patience with those that He was trying to teach. I know He got very frustrated and lost His patience with some of those who were rebelliously opposed to listening. But those who wanted to listen, He was patient with them as they learned and struggled and tripped and fell on their faces and stuck their foots in their mouth like Peter. And He will be with us too. He healed those who were hurting. He loved all people. That's what He did. And He showed us that's what life and Christianity is all about. He died on the cross for us. He died of His own free will. He died with forgiveness in His heart. He died sinless for those of us who are sinful. He was raised from the dead. And now we have the power of life, the power to become a new people. We have the hope of conquering death because He did. That's our gospel. He lived and He lived and did everything right. And He showed us how to live. And He died for us. And He was raised for us to give us hope. Hope that we can too rise from the grave. We must lift Jesus up. We've got to lift Him up. Have you looked at Jesus lately? Do you keep your attention turned to Him? Surely, when we talk to people day in and day out, surely they already know Jesus, don't they? No, they know about Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They've never really come face to face with Him. They've never really understood who He truly is and how much He truly sacrificed so that they would follow Him. There are very few people in our society who really know anything about Jesus. If they did, they couldn't stand to keep living the way they do, knowing how much it hurts Him and knowing how much He sacrificed to save them from their sins. A good percentage, maybe 5-6% of all the people who have ever lived on earth are alive on the earth today. More people than have ever been alive on the earth before. Over 7 billion, heading toward 8 billion. Won't be long till there will be 8 billion people on earth. The vast majority of them. Even of the 1 billion that claim to be Christians. See, that's already a minority. That's just over 10% that even claim to be Christians. But even of those, so many don't really know Jesus. If you're here this morning and you need to get to know Jesus better, we want to help. We want everyone to know Jesus personally and deeply and to understand Him to the best of their ability. But it's not a pill you can take or a switch that you can flip that just makes you know Him. Just like any relationship, you've got to get to know Him. You've got to work on that relationship. If you're here this morning and you need to work on that relationship, maybe you haven't even become a disciple. Maybe you need some teaching to know who Jesus is enough to even want to follow Him at all. Maybe you are a disciple to some degree, but you've never obeyed the gospel. You've never imitated His death and burial and resurrection by yourself, dying to your sins through repentance and being buried with Him in baptism after confessing Him as the Christ, to rise to walk a new life based on your faith in Him. If you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.